Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Well, what a gorgeous summer day we're having as I'm recording this in my home studio. And the lawn tractors outside, seemingly all around us, are creating a stereo buzz that is just so reminiscent of summer. Several families in the church are away on vacation. We pray for safe travels and wish them well. And we're so thankful for all that God is doing. Just to bring you up to date, on Thursday, July 11, 2013, was the one-year anniversary of Zach Sandy's miracle of being raised from the dead after being struck and killed by lightning last summer at a church youth camp. Well, I'm pleased to say that the anniversary date, July 11, 2013, was officially declared as Zach Sandy Day by a proclamation of the Harrison County Commission. They issued him a wonderful plaque and made a big to-do of it. It was very wonderful. And then on the same day, to celebrate the resurrection anniversary, a big party was thrown by his family and our church, and it was attended by reporters and filmed and run on television and in the newspapers. The Clarksburg Exponent Telegram ran a front page story noting the book launch and mentioning the anniversary. West Virginia Public Broadcasting aired Zach's testimony on the radio in conjunction with the one-year anniversary. ConnectClarksburg.com ran a pre-story and then also ran a main story in conjunction with the one-year anniversary. And we learned on July 13 that Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN, which is the home of the 700 Club, has informed Zach Sandy's father that Zach's miracle testimony has been approved for filming to be aired on the network. The producers are very excited about it. Zach's father, Russell Sandy, who wrote the book In Lieu of Flowers, God Gave Us a Miracle, the true life story of Zach Sandy. In response to the notification from CBN, said, "Zach is going to tell the world that Jesus is alive and on the throne and still performing miracles." The book has become a bestseller on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Ebook versions are available for Kindle and Nook, which are the Amazon and Barnes & Noble competitors in the ebook reading devices. Of course, the Kindle can be read on Windows computers and Macintosh computers and smartphones of every kind. And it's just such a wonderful thing what has happened. Recently, Zach was invited to speak and testify about the miracle at a camp meeting hosted by the very same church that hosted the original camp meeting. As a matter of fact, this was this year's youth camp and camp meeting corresponding with last year's where the event happened. And what a great job he did. It was live streamed out on the internet and watched by many in our church. Just so exciting to see how many people are having their faith inspired by learning what God has done in the life of Elder Zach Sandy, a young preacher here at Christian Apostolic Church. Today on the broadcast, we want to cover how to strengthen your marriage, and we'd also like to touch on some principles that will help you to be a better parent. With regard to invoking the wisdom of the Bible in your marriage, one of the things that we want to stress is that anytime there's discord or friction or a problem, you want to get it resolved quickly. And it can be difficult to resolve because men and women, our brains aren't wired the same, and we often don't communicate in the same manner. And this can make things a little difficult. But I remember the wise words of T.F. Tenney, the district superintendent of Louisiana. He served in that capacity for all the years that I was raised in Louisiana. And he would humorously refer to the title of a book men are from Mars and women are from Venus, he would cite that book title and then he would correct it by saying, actually, men and women are both from Earth. And yes, we are different, but you've got to deal with it. The fact is that in spite of all of our differences, we are complementary to one another. And where a man has areas of strength, a woman might have areas of weakness. And where a woman has areas of strength, a man might have areas of weakness. And we were particularly made as suitable gender partners. And this can form a very strong complementary relationship in a marriage if you are careful not to let the flaws of your personality and the sin curse born in your carnal frame be a stumbling block that will hinder you to the point of despair or divorce. One of the things that I want to stress to you is the concept of fighting fair. And here's what I mean by that. It's probably unrealistic for you to think that your marriage will never have a friction or a discord or an argument. But you need to be aware that due to human nature, one of the first victims of any argument or fight in a marriage is accuracy and truth. Here's what I mean by that. When we get angry and we want to win the argument, so to speak, we often exaggerate. The man or the woman will say to their spouse, "You always do this," when in fact it may be that in 13 years of marriage they've done this particular thing, you know, three times. But the exaggerated statement, "You always do this," is an example of how we throw accuracy out the window and exaggerate to try to make our point. And it can even slip out, and even instances when you're trying to control exaggeration, it can slip out. And it can just be simply that you didn't keep good records and you're telling your perception of it. For example, if a wife has nagged a husband about something for 2 days, he might exaggerate and say, "You've been nagging me about this for 3 days," when in fact it was only two. And she's well within her rights to correct him that, you know, "No, I haven't been nagging you about this for 3 days. I started yesterday, and yesterday and today make 2 days." But there is this very important need to speak the truth in love, even when you're angry. And that is to recognize within yourself the weakness and the tendency to exaggerate and to speak inaccurately, and rein that in even when you are angry. Speaking of being angry, the Bible does not indicate that anger in and of itself is a sin. There's a Bible verse that says, "Be angry and sin not." But we must recognize that when we are angry, it causes us to be much more likely to sin. The anger itself may not be a sin, but when we are angry, we're more likely to say something that is untrue, to say something that is not spoken in love. And not only that, but the Bible indicates that we need to resolve the matter and dispel the anger quickly. Another Bible verse says, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." And this basically means that you need to deal with the matter quickly. Deal with it before the day is done. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed feeling a heart of wrath for your spouse. And really, all of these truths are good for conflict resolution, regardless of who the opponent is in the conflict. Perhaps it is your boss or a coworker, or maybe it's a relationship between a parent and child. A lot of these truths are just basic, good, common sense ways to approach conflict resolution, regardless of who the conflict is with. Now, one of the things that you need to bear in mind with regard to conflict resolution and resolving things quickly is because of how our brains are wired and how God programmed our brains to function with regard to memories. Now, let me give you an example. This is a real life example. There was an occasion when I was involved in an instance in which I was very hurt. There was a man who was in a position of authority above me and mistreated me in a very painful fashion. And in hindsight, I'm not really sure that he intended to mistreat me or that he intended to hurt me. But the events of the day were seared into my brain. And even though the scripture tells us to agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, and even though the scriptures tell us to not let the sun go down on your wrath, and even though the scriptures teach us that if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. This is what Jesus said. Jesus did not indicate that Christianity is about just rolling over and letting people trespass against you and you not saying something about it. That's a recipe for disaster. And if someone has tricked you into thinking that that is what a true Christian is supposed to be, is someone who just always suffers themselves to be defrauded and just never speaks up, that person has done you a great disservice in deceiving you about what Christianity is. Jesus himself said, if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. In Matthew 18, he said, if your brother trespass against you, go to him and tell him the matter privately between you and him. He said, if he won't hear you, then take one or two others. And if he won't hear you when you have witnesses from the church with you, then he said, bring the matter before the whole church. And this was a very important teaching about church discipline. He said that if the unrepentant trespasser who is labeled as a brother and reckoned as being a member of the church, the matter is brought before the church and the church hears testimony and prays and the church finds in the favor of the victim and they render an admonition to the transgressor. Jesus said if he, the transgressor, will not hear the church, then you're to regard him as a heathen and a publican. In other words, you are to put him out of the church. He is no longer to be reckoned as part of the church. We understand this is not a cruelty against the person, but rather it moves them from a place where they are falsely reckoned as a brother to a place where they are accurately reckoned as an unbeliever. And how are we to treat unbelievers? We are to treat them with love. Jesus said to love your enemy. And with regard to forgiveness, we're commanded to forgive everyone. And so on the way to forgiving them and on the way to loving your enemy, it's important for us to correct the misperception that the person is a member of the church and that they're saved, when actually heaven knows better. And God knows that the person does not have true salvation and that it is a wrongful distortion to claim that they're a member of the church. And so in the path of this storm of transgression against me, knowing that I ought to have confronted the brother, I found that actually obeying what Jesus said to do is difficult. When you are actually faced with having to rebuke someone who has trespassed against you, you can find yourself seething with contempt and anger and bitterness and hatred and self-doubt and self-pity. And this is a bad cocktail. It's a bad mix. And in the midst of all of this negative sea of emotions swirling and drowning you, it can be very difficult to buck up and find the courage to actually confront the other party. And so I found myself using a rationale to try to convince myself that I didn't really need to confront this other party. I told myself, listen, I'm strong enough to take this. I have broad shoulders. I can simply forgive him and suffer myself to be defrauded and just simply let it be water under the bridge. And that's what I decided to do, and that's what I did. And over the course of the next few months, I convinced myself that I had truly forgiven. I convinced myself that the matter was behind me and everything was fine. I resigned from an office that put me in a position for this man to mistreat me, and everything seemed fine. But then we found that a year later it came time for the same type of convention where the wounding had occurred 1 year prior. And as we approached that convention, even though I had resigned from the position and was no longer supposed to be called upon for help and preparation, this same man in authority contacted me and pleaded with me to again help this year as I had done the prior year. And immediately, it's like the dam broke and all of this negative emotion came flooding back. All of this pain and wounding and injury and frustration and bitterness. And I realized that I was only able to keep all of those feelings at bay as long as I knew that there was no longer a danger of me being called into the same situation and called upon to perform the same services and called upon to be ridiculed in the same fashion. And when I realized that I was being asked to participate again and realized that I was not so insulated from further injury as I thought I was, suddenly I realized that I hadn't forgiven this brother at all. And so, as painful as it was, I called up the notes that I had taken and the letters that I had written and had never mailed, and I finally got up the courage to confront this brother about the pain that he had caused me and the humiliation and the suffering. And what I found was, as you might expect, this brother had absolutely no memory of the events in question. He couldn't believe that there was any possibility of him doing what I accused because he had no memory. And this comes back down to why it is so important to listen to the wisdom of the Bible and deal with matters quickly. It goes this way. So often the person who is doing the wounding, doing the trespassing, does not perceive themselves as doing anything wrong. They're not aware of anything being wrong. And they're not tense. They're not excited. There's nothing to cause this situation to stick in their long-term memory. They might be able to remember it tomorrow, possibly the next day. But the further you get away, time-wise, from the events in focus, the events in question, the more it is going to drain away from their short-term memory without ever being burned into their long-term memory. We know now through medical and scientific research that long-term memories are formed by excitement, wonder, pain, basically strong emotions that stimulate the endocrine system. Adrenaline is like a glue that causes long-term memories to stick, and other chemicals that are produced, endorphins that are produced by your endocrine system, they form a glue that causes long-term memories to stick. And so when the trespasser isn't feeling uptight, they're not feeling stressed, they're not feeling alarmed or hurt, there's no reason for them to produce these endorphins and the adrenaline. There's no reason for them to have these events to stick in their long-term memory. Whereas the person who is trespassed against, the wounded party, is very hurt. They have their emotions running high, and all of these things are being glued to their long-term memories. And so it is that even just a few days later, the wounded person will remember with crisp detail every single thing that was done wrong, and the transgressor will remember almost nothing at all. And in this instance, it becomes very, very difficult, practically impossible, to adjudicate the matter properly. Now, I remember one expert that I got to hear speak about husband-wife relationships, and indeed relationships in general between men and women. He talked about one of the core differences between men and women is that women are emotionally connected much more often than men. Women, it doesn't seem to be a problem for them to live their life in a way that is just emotionally engaged, emotionally connected, emotionally switched on. And because of this, much more of what happens to them gets glued as a long-term memory. And men live their lives not nearly so emotionally engaged. In fact, I'm convinced that if something were to happen to cause a man to be switched on and emotionally engaged all the time like a woman's brain is, I'm convinced that that would fry his brain. It would burn him out. He would be miserable. God made us differently. We're just wired differently. And so it is that a birthday 18 years ago or an anniversary 22 years ago, the woman can remember what was served for breakfast. She can remember what led up to the moment when the gift was given. She can remember what color of clothing you were wearing that day or the specific details about what shoes you had on. And she can remember how she fixed her hair and what clothing she had on. The man is like, you've got to be kidding me. How on earth can you remember all this? He doesn't stand a dead man's chance of remembering these things because he's not nearly so emotionally engaged. And so men, oftentimes, whenever they are emotionally hurt, whenever they're emotionally wounded, they're in great pain, yet they lack the skill to be able to articulate why it is that they are in pain. They're hurt emotionally, but it seems like that a man's ability to connect the pain that he's feeling with the cause is somehow broken in comparison to a woman. To all the men in our listening audience today, I want to encourage you to recognize within yourself a brokenness in the male gender that you need to give attention to. And there are many such areas of brokenness in the male gender. One of them is that so oftentimes men are more prone to addiction to anger and the problems of anger than women are. Not to say that it can't happen in women, it does, but more often in men. But men, one of the areas that you need to address in your masculine gender is a skill. You need to strive to develop a skill to make the connection between what it is that hurt you and the pain that it caused. One of the reasons why this is so crucial is because a man could go to work and be insulted by a coworker and be stung emotionally over that and not speak up about it, not respond to it, just simply hurt, and then get home still emotionally wounded and begin to fight back against this pain, taking things out on his wife or on his children, and they are not who wounded him. And yet, they are the ones he is mistreating because he is wounded. Men, when you do that, you are utterly wrong. And you need to be wiser than that. You need to be smarter than that. You need to recognize when the wounding occurred and what caused it, and deal with it directly. Deal with the person that caused it directly. Don't come home later and take that anger out on your wife and on your children when they are not the cause. And to the women, you need to be aware that there are times when your husband is trying to sort through this, and this can also be true with regard to your children that are male, your sons. You can have the men in your life struggling to work through a pain that they're dealing with, trying to figure out that they're hurting and why they're hurting and who caused the hurt. And it can take men a while to put this together. I know this is difficult for women to understand because it's child's play for a woman to immediately connect who hurt her and why. It's much more difficult for a man. And there can be instances when your man is hurting and you need to learn to recognize the signs and realize when you need to give him some space and when you need to back away. And there's an old saying that says, let sleeping dogs lie. Let me give you a couple of examples. These are real life examples. Not too long ago, I read an article about a family that had a wonderful dog. The dog was just a tremendous pet, loved children, loved their baby, was just a wonderful thing. But there came a certain day when the dog was napping, and the little toddler came over and began to pound on the dog and play with the dog, as had happened many times before, and awakened the dog suddenly. And the dog, being awakened suddenly, wasn't thinking properly. And you know, there are different levels of intelligence in animals. Dolphins are very smart. Birds, actually, many species of birds are very smart. And as you probably know, there are many breeds of dog that are very intelligent. But this dog was not thinking properly. He wasn't functioning from the level of intelligence that he normally has access to. He's suddenly awakened, he's alarmed, and his fight or flight instincts kick in, and he responds with the fight instinct instead of the flight instinct. And without realizing what he's doing, the dog kills this family's baby, their toddler. And the bottom line is, of course, the dog had to be put down, and the family has lost their pet and their child. And of course, it's far worse to lose the child than it is the pet. But this family is just in utter despair over what has happened. And it all comes down to, if they had just realized, it's important to let sleeping dogs lie. It's important to keep their child away from that dog while he's asleep. Something similar to that can happen with regard to relationships. And this goes both ways, but if you jar your wife awake, accosting her about something that you're frustrated with, wives, if you come in and you find your husband almost asleep or falling asleep, and you begin to nag at him about something or begin to adjure him about something that you feel is a pressing need, you're very likely to get the brunt of that grumpy, "I just woke up, I don't feel good, I can't think straight, I'm alarmed by what's happening here, I don't know how to respond to it." And you actually are not dealing with your husband, you're dealing with someone else entirely. And you could have a man that has a pretty good grip on his anger control issues, and yet if you approach him while he's grumpy and either trying to go to sleep or just waking up from sleep, you can find yourself dealing with someone with much less self-control than you're normally used to. And this concept of recognizing your partner's strengths and weaknesses actually is just sound wisdom for many different areas of life. Another one that I could mention is that men are not nearly so gifted. The masculine gender is not nearly so gifted with linguistics as the feminine gender because of the different ways that our brains are wired. I remember so often I heard Dr. James Dobson on Focus on the Family say that young girls learn to speak at an earlier age on average than young boys do. And these young girls learn to communicate with words much more effectively than their male counterparts. And as they grow up, it becomes this way throughout the rest of their lives. Women on average speak about twice as many words a day than men do. And what oftentimes happens is, and I know this is difficult for women to understand, but it's very true, and I can testify to you as a man, this is very true, that a man, especially if he works a job in sales or works a job where he has to deal with the public, works a job where he has to talk on the phone, a man can speak during his workday until the point that he just feels like if he has to say another word, it is going to cause his brain to explode. He can't put this into words. He can't explain to you, but just asking at their reach, there comes a point in the day when you, if you ask him to speak, you're asking him to inflict pain upon himself. And so it is that when a man gets home from work, oftentimes the wife is so tired of no one to interact with all day but just the children. She's desperate for adult companionship and adult conversation. The husband comes in from work and she wants to engage him in conversation, and all she can get out of him is grunts. And she needs to realize that you can literally cause him an indescribable mental anguish and pain by trying to force him to speak at that time. It's a good time for you to just back off. Give him some silence for the first half hour when he gets home. Give him some time to rest and recuperate and recharge. And then later, after you've given him a break, then begin to try to engage him in conversation. And men, by the same token, you need to realize that your wife is in need of emotional intimacy and a connection in conversation. And when you get home, it's fine for you to ask her to give you a breather, give you some space, give you a time of silence. But as soon as you can, you know, get your batteries recharged and then get into the relationship and bare your soul and communicate what's in your heart to your wife. If you don't engage her in emotional intimacy, then you will leave her feeling unfulfilled and starved for something that she needs and craves, and it will not be good for your marriage. Well, we're all out of time for today, but we hope that our lesson has been helpful for you, and we pray God's blessings upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Join us again next week when we will again turn our hearts toward the Word of God, the voice of truth. One last note before we go, we want to invite you to our All Access Youth Week at Christian Apostolic Church starting tomorrow and going every night this week, and also our Vacation Bible School. Our staff and volunteers have done a tremendous job in preparing to bring godly truth and excitement and fun to your children and to the students in your home. We hope you'll join us for our All Access Youth Week and Vacation Bible School this week at Christian Apostolic Church.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.